Hello, church. Well, here we are on week six of our home edition, and we've all settled into our new rhythms and habits in these days, and I hope these weekly messages have been an encouragement to you in your walk with the Lord, and also a helpful way for us to connect on some level as we're partnering together in the mission of helping people find and follow after Jesus. Over these past few weeks, it has been so much fun to be able to see many from our church family extending greetings to one another by declaring He is risen. And so this week we wanted to start in the same manner, in a similar manner to how we've done over the past few weeks. And so here's just a few more greetings from our church family, and I want you to enjoy.
He is risen.
He has risen indeed.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Psalm 95:1-2.
Through the years, our church has partnered with the Laurel Mission in sharing and demonstrating the love of Christ to the community of Big Laurel. And this morning, if we were meeting together in our church and all was as we expected it to be, we would be having Nathan Boggs as our guest speaker this morning. But due to the changes and all that is going on right now, we're not able to have him with us, and we're not able to gather together. And so instead, I asked Nathan to just come and join us via video and give an update from Laurel Mission and share with us some of the ways that we can be praying for them right now. And so I want to send it down to Nathan in Kentucky and allow him to share with us. And so enjoy hearing from him.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Derek. Good morning, Devonshire UB family. I am Nathan Boggs, Director of Laurel Mission. Laurel Mission is located on Greasy Creek, deep in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains in southeastern Kentucky. And Lindsay and I, my sweet bride of 10 short years, have been married. And after we were married, God called us to be missionaries and directors at Laurel Mission. And we've been here almost 10 years now. To quickly update you on what God is doing at Laurel Mission, over the last year of our ministry, men, women, and children have been saved and baptized. Woo! Praise the Lord, all right? And you are a part of that ministry. Our mission statement is to see all men, women, and children within the sphere of our influence be saved and conformed to the image of Christ, and to do so with all expediency. And that's what we're here, saved and conformed to the image of Christ. And praise the Lord. God is working. God is changing hearts. I can preach so I'm blue in the face. We can do 100,000 different things. But if God's not in it, nobody's going to get saved. But God is in it. And the Holy Spirit's been working. The Holy Spirit's been changing hearts. And praise the Lord. There are many people in need of food, clothing, and shelter here in our area. Quick statistic. 11 out of the 50 poorest counties in the United States, the 50 poorest counties in the United States, 11 are located in southeastern Kentucky in the mountain region. Leslie County, which is right behind me on the camera, is the third poorest county in the state of Kentucky, and it's a place that we minister. Laurel Mission has many ministries through which we share Jesus. Our clothing center is awesome. There are so many people from a four-county area come here every Wednesday. They receive they receive clothing and household items and stuff like that. We sell things for a quarter or 50 cents, and it's a great place to share Jesus. It's a great place to share share and make relationships, and it's just a wonderful ministry. And my mom, Debbie, has been taking care of that ministry for 35 years. Our food ministry, which you've been a big part of before, we have food giveaways here on property through the spring, summer, and fall. And people come from a four-county area and receive a huge, over 50-pound food box. They also hear Jesus. We always have a sermon before we give any food away. And it's a great way to pray and engage people with Jesus. Our Bible schools, we conduct 3 Bible schools a year and average about 45 kids per day. People hear about, kids hear about Jesus, and man, they have a lot of fun. It's so much fun. Our weekly youth ministry, Rock House Youth Ministry, here at Laurel Mission is pretty much a church for kids. And we, over the last year, we've averaged at least 20 kids per week. And Pastor Derek, I baptized a kid that was 6'6", 350 pounds. I thought I was going to have a hernia, man. I mean, when I baptized him, he was the last one to be baptized that day. And when we baptized him, there was a tidal wave going down Greasy Creek and no water left in Greasy Creek. It was great. So our two mission churches we preach Jesus at every Sunday, Little Laurel Bible Church and Cedar Chapel United Brethren Church. Pastor Ken Smith has preached there for over 40 years at Cedar Chapel. Please pray for him. He needs your prayers. He's having some heart issues. Please pray for Pastor Ken. Over 500 mission teams come and work through every ministry of Laurel Mission 11 months out of the year. And they're very important. And thank you for coming and serving with us. You have sent so many mission teams over the years. And it's so important to come and share with us and work with us. So, Devonshire, thank you for being a big part of our ministry here. Our construction ministry has been helping at the Elvia Project and building a bedroom for two young ladies who lost their father. And it's been a great project. We also completed the Rosemary Project, a 800 square foot project for a family of six. And it's been a really big blessing. The man works for the water company and the mom homeschools four kids. That was a great project. So our mission team workers help in every single part of our ministry. And my family's going to join me here. Your leg. We've shot this video three or four times, and in the last video, Layla kicked you high in the head. but this is Lindsay, my bride, and of 10 short years, and God called us to be missionaries and directors at Laurel Mission. This is Lily Bug. This is Eli, and this is Layla. Say hi, Lay.
Hi.
Okay, and thank you for enabling us, the Boggs family, to be able to share Jesus at Laurel Mission. You are a part of our ministry. You are a part of everything that goes on here. Thank you for your prayers. Please pray that God will keep us safe, that God will lead us and guide us. Please pray that God will see souls saved to the ministries of Laurel Mission. And we just thank you so much, Devonshire. Thank you, Pastor Derek, for everything, all your help. And thank you for your prayers. We'll see you soon, I hope. Okay, see you later. Let's wave. Wave. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Nathan. It is so good to hear from you and to see you and your family and hear the updates and the ways that we can continue to lift you up in prayer. We still have hopes of bringing a team down this summer, and if you're able to, please let me know. We're going to be looking at in July at some dates, but you can check with me for more details on that as we continue to plan towards those dates in that time frame. In this coming week, I want to encourage you to join us online as for our Wednesday night prayer meetings at 7 p.m., just 30 minutes of prayer and coming before the Lord. I love it. It's just more now than ever. I believe that there is this movement of prayer around the globe, continuing to seek the Lord and ask for His favor, for His healing, for His protection, and for Him to be known. And Lord, for Him to have His way in our midst in these days. And so I encourage you to come out and join in for just 30 minutes of prayer as a way for us to gather together and do so. And then at 7:45, if you haven't joined in and you're interested in doing so, I want to encourage you to join in for our Discipleship Explored course that meets at 7:45. And we're journeying through Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. It is always such a rich time of fellowship. Lastly, church, it has been amazing to see the generosity from our church community towards the church in this time. And we want to say a big, big thank you for that. Your financial contributions allow us to continue to minister to people in this community, in our country, and around the world. And we want to encourage you to keep on walking alongside your church in this way. There's a number of ways that you can give. You can give online at devonshirechurch.org/give. Or you can set up direct debit, which if you haven't done so, we encourage you to do so. Or you can send us a check. However you want to give, we thank you again for your generosity. And so we're just going to take a 30-second break here. And so if you need to get your coffee or you need to take a break for any other reason, do so. And we're going to start back up in just a few moments. Thank you. Well, as we finish out the month of April, I wanted to address one more piece that is key for us in our lives as a result of the fact that Jesus is alive. We could keep on speaking for a long time about the relevancy of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, couldn't we? And in reality, that's what we do every week as we gather together. Over these past 2 weeks, we've been reminded that because Jesus lives, we can know that nothing is impossible with him. We can know that every word that he has ever spoken, that it is true, and that there is never a time when you can't trust him. And no matter what, he is with us and we have nothing to fear. There's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no sin, there's no behavior that can separate us from the love of God in Christ, and that our God is for us is what we talked about last week. This morning I want to look at a passage that comes right after the resurrection account in Matthew's gospel account. In Matthew chapter 28 verses 16 through 20, and if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn there as we read together in a moment. Have you ever had that experience when you are having what you expect could be one of your last conversations with someone? It could be because of some upcoming move, maybe a change in job, maybe even as someone was nearing death. What kind of thoughts might you have if you knew that that was the case? Probably given the opportunity to think about what you'd say, you'd want what you said to be memorable, purposeful. It might even be one of the more important things that you would want that person to remember, and even that which you would want them to do. Maybe in these days it's like that for you. If you had known that things were going to get shut down, that maybe you weren't going to be going back to school, maybe you wish you would have had some kind of conversation or wouldn't have been able to say this or that to someone. I remember a few years ago, one of those times when as a young father I was preparing for it to travel on a trip out of the country and having one of these kind of conversations with my kids. Because I wanted them to know some of the most important things, and I wanted them to know something and not forget it. While the reality is that tomorrow isn't promised to any of us, no matter where you're at, there is something about traveling and being away for an extended amount of time that causes you to really appreciate that reality all the more. What you have to say in those moments, compared to other conversations that you might be having, can be very special and meaningful. Think about it for a moment. Is there one thing, is there one piece of instruction that Jesus shared with his disciples? If there was one thing that he commanded all who were his to do, wouldn't it be wonderful to know what that was? Wouldn't you, as a fellow follower and disciple, want to be about the work that he has given to you? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Jesus' disciples have been through some of the most amazing days and years of their lives. This man Jesus, whom they had followed for the past 3 years, has done some miraculous signs and wonders. He's taught with an authority that they had never heard someone teach like. He claimed to be the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. He healed people. He cast demons out of people. He was compassionate and gracious to those who are in the fringes of society. He called out the religious elite. And then after riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, as the people cried out Hosanna as their welcome, he was in a matter of days hearing the chant of crucify him, crucify him. As he was beaten as a criminal and crucified on a cross as one for doing no wrong. It was unforgettable. It was unbelievable what had transpired, but it wasn't over, and that's the story of the resurrection. Everything about Jesus was and is incredible. What happened next changed everything forever. After 3 days of being in the grave and the disciples hiding in fear of what would happen next to them since they were his followers, what did he do? But we've been celebrating it. It is exactly how our greetings have been going over these past few weeks, but he rose from the dead. And he spent another 40 days with them, during which we find the moment that we come to now at the end of Matthew chapter 28. Can you imagine? I'm telling you, can you imagine what must have been in the disciples' hearts, what they must have been experiencing? And so with all of that in mind, as the lead up into this passage that we're going to look at today, let's read what happened next in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew writes this. He says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just come to you now and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. We ask that you would open our hearts and our eyes to see and hear what it is that you have for us today. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the ability and the opportunity to meet like this. And so, Lord, would you have your way now? Would you speak by the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives? In your name we pray. Amen. Well, here's the deal. As we come to this passage, we're told that the 11 disciples, that they've come out to Galilee, to the place that Jesus had directed them to come. We don't know anything more about this place. We don't know if there were other disciples there meeting with them other than the 11. We could probably assume that that's the case, but we know that the 11 were there. And they came and they showed up. And what did they do? We're told that they were there and they recognized Jesus for who he was, and they rightly responded to him by worshiping him as the risen Lord, the one who is everything that he had said he was and had conquered death. But not only were there those who were there who responded in worship, but we're told that there were also those who were there who responded and doubted. There were those who had questions. There were those who weren't totally convinced or so sure, and they needed to see more. And so as they all gathered to meet with Jesus, what does he do? What does Jesus tell us that we need to know in regards to what he wants us to do that sets up what he has to say for us this morning? The first thing that he does here is that he speaks to them. Remember, some of them, they believe and they worship, and there are those who are told who have doubts. And look at what Jesus does. He knows that they need some more evidence. And so what does he do? But he speaks to them in that moment. He continues to meet them where they're at. And here's what he says, and here's what I believe he wants every one of us to hear. Look at what he says in verse 18. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He sets up what he has to say in this way. The first thing that he tells them is who he is and how powerful he is. He says, "All authority," where? In heaven and on earth. Is whose? He says it's his. That's a huge statement. He's saying that he's more powerful than anyone. He's saying he's more powerful, he's greater than whoever's in charge of Galilee at that time. But even more than that, he's telling them that he's more powerful, that he had more authority than whoever was in Rome at that time, or anyone else, not only on earth, but also in heaven, and that he is the one who is reigning over all creation. I don't think this is too hard for his disciples to believe at this point, because through their time with Jesus, what had they seen him do? They had seen him exercise authority over sickness, over death, over storms, over waves. They had seen his authority in how he talked, and most powerfully and most recently, they had seen him crucified and killed, and now he was alive and standing right before them. This authority is exactly what Paul speaks of in Ephesians 1, verse 20. Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus about Jesus. It says that in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and this is what God did, that he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what is Jesus doing here? But Jesus is reminding them of who he is, that he is Jesus, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's a big statement. And what does that mean for us today? That means that he's got more power over any world leader. He is more powerful and authority, and he has all authority over any situation. Throughout these past months, we've watched this COVID-19 virus just spread across the globe, and it's become a pandemic that has disrupted our lives to some extent in big ways and even tragic ways for some of us. And Jesus is saying, I've got it. I've got it all under control. It's under my authority. And whatever life plans that you have that are stressing you out, that aren't going the way that you thought would be best, whatever cancer, whatever injustices that are taking place, he's saying, I've got it. Recently, I heard John Piper make this statement in his latest book entitled Christ and the Coronavirus. And he says this, that we can have joy in the midst of sorrow, knowing this, knowing that the same sovereignty that could stop the coronavirus yet doesn't is the very sovereignty that sustains the soul in it. Just listen to that again. I think it's so good. Just a good reminder for us that the same sovereignty that could stop the coronavirus yet doesn't is the very sovereignty that sustains the soul in it. Paul writes to the Philippians about the exalted status of Jesus over all in Philippians 2 verses 9 through 11. And this is the power, this is the authority, this is the position that Jesus has right now. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When he says that he has all authority, he's not saying that he has just some authority. He's saying that he is sovereign and that he is in control over all things. And if he has authority over everything, then I need to obey him and I need to surrender my life to him. And if he has all authority, then he has the power to make happen whatever he has asked me to do. And so the first thing that I want us to hear today, in the midst of our lives and whatever it is that we're journeying through and whatever we are facing, is I want us to hear who Jesus is. And so who is he in these days to you? Is he the one that you are trusting to carry you through these days and sustain you by his grace? But not only that, let's look at verse 19. In verse 19, he gives his final command and instruction to them. He says, therefore, in light of what I've just told you about having all authority in heaven and on earth, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and do what? I want you to go and make disciples. I love this. Not too far in the distant past, the disciples had found themselves hiding in fear after Jesus died, wondering what was next. And now the resurrected Christ was with them. And what is he telling them? But he's telling them this. He says, you have nothing to fear. I have all authority in heaven and on earth. He's saying, I'm the king. And so not only do we hear what Jesus has to say about his authority, but now we get to hear about the task. We get to hear about the assignment. We get to hear about the work that he wants his disciples to do. And so what would make sense for you to go and do but make disciples? If that's what he had told you to do, this dead person who is now alive, and he's telling you, this is what I want you to do. It would totally make sense for you to go and tell others about this Jesus who saves. Why not go and tell everyone and know that there is nothing to fear, that he is the one who is in control. And if he's the savior of the world, what could be any more loving of a thing to do but to go and tell people about this saving Christ and be about the mission that he has given us to do. He says, go. He says, go and make disciples. And then he directs them as to where they should go. And where does he say? But he says, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, go everywhere. It's wide open now. This isn't just for a certain race, but this is both for the Jew and for the Gentile. He wasn't just the Savior for a certain race, but he is the Savior for everyone who places their faith and trust in him. He says, go and make disciples. And so what is disciple making? And then he explains that to us as to what that means. He says, this is what it looks like. It looks like baptizing people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here, as we're talking about baptism, baptism was a way of identification, a way that a person would identify themselves of being a follower of Jesus. And there's a need for cleansing of sin and dying to themselves, and now that they would have new life in Christ. And notice whose name they are being baptized in, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying yet again, I'm divine. I am right there with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But not only is there baptism, that's just the beginning. Here's what else I want you to do. I want you to teach them. There comes this lifelong journey of growing, of knowing and becoming more like Jesus. And so Jesus has shared with them about his authority, about the task that he has for them to do. And now he comes to the promise. I love this passage here at the end. And he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Isn't that good news? Jesus says to his disciples, I have all the authority here on earth and in heaven. He's saying, I'm in charge and I have authority over everything. And since that's the case, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and tell the world about it. I want you to go tell everyone that you know, see, can have the opportunity to reach and tell them about my saving grace. And here's one more thing that I want to share with you that gives you all the encouragement that you need and all the confidence. I'm always going to be with you. He's saying, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. There is nothing like his presence. You think about it, all three of these statements put together, and what more could these disciples want? Here I am, and I'm sitting in my kitchen. And I chose this spot because one of the first weeks that we found ourselves not being able to, that we were supposed to stay at home. I came out one Saturday morning and I could tell that, and Kristen had already gotten up, she was getting her coffee and doing some other stuff, and I just said, hey, good morning, how's it going? And I could just tell something wasn't right. And she went on to tell me that the kitchen sink was clogged, that the water wasn't going down, and in our house, whenever we got a house full of eight people, that's a big deal because things can back up really quick. And so I got down there, I started to look in the pipes, and our sink is right here. And I spent most of the day here underneath the sink and dealing with this. And I'm sure it could have gone faster for someone else who, but it took me all day. I looked under there, the sink, we have a garbage disposal, and the sink comes down, there's two of them, and they meet in the middle, and then they go down, and I checked both of those lines, and they were clear, and the place that was clogging up the pipes, it must have been down below that, and so I couldn't reach that and very easily, and so what I ended up having to do was, I went and I got a snake and I put that down in there, but we kept going at it. And I spent a lot of the day just thinking and hoping and praying that something would break through that. And I could find that the night before, I think a lot of ham must have gone down through the garbage disposal and it turned it into ham loaf or something in the pipes that was just clogging it up because the snake would reach it. And all day I was just hoping it would break through, and it didn't break through. And finally, it got to the point, it's like, what am I going to do? And we tried Drano, we tried all kinds of things. I got the plunger out finally, and I was like, okay, let's try that, because it's two sinks. Whenever I would do the plunger, it wouldn't get enough pressure, because even though I would hold down the other entrance through the other sink, it just wasn't enough. And so finally, at the end of the day, I wasn't sure what to do. I was almost at the point of like, I'm going to have to, you know, cut up through the ceiling to get to the pipe and to cut it out from downstairs. And I really didn't want to do that. And finally, like late afternoon, I got this idea. I it came to mind. I was like, hold on, I was just in the garage and I think I saw some more PVC plumbing type stuff that, what if I just redirect it and make a direct line right from the sink to the other end? And that way I could get greater suction with the plunger. I couldn't think of anything else to do. And so I rigged it up, I looked at it, and luckily, thankfully, it worked out that I had the right pieces, and I started to really plunge it really hard. Stuff started to come up, but after about 10 minutes and still it's not draining, I almost was ready to give up again, but I was like, come on, and I just asked God to help. Would you let this stuff go through? And one more time I went at it, and I was like, oh my goodness, I think it went down. And Kristen came up and she said, did it go down yet? You know, I just prayed and I need to hear that it went down. And sure enough, it had gone down. And here's what I'm thinking. And here's what it made me think as I was looking at that. And as we're in these days, that things are different now. And things were getting clogged up and it wasn't good. And it affected a lot of things, and things were really frustrating. And that was a frustrating thing. But I was encouraged as I thought about that and thinking, you know, when that happens, sometimes we need to get creative and we need to think differently about how to approach a situation. And God can use other means. He uses other methods and He uses other ways. And so here we are, and we're in this situation where a lot of things seem like they're clogged. They're all backed up. Things are not running the way that we want them to work. Things have been disrupted in our lives. We don't like it, and we're just asking God, would you please come through? And I think in these moments, now that we're a month or so into this, we found other ways to do things, and we found that God can use other means, and He is using other means, and that God's working in the midst of all of this. And in regards to the task that God has given us, to be about helping people finding and following Jesus, about making disciples. We might think, well, I'm so limited now in my contacts with other people, and how can I do this? But I think, you know, through technology, we've been able to find, and we've found that there are other ways to communicate and connect. And maybe now, through all of this, more than ever, the gospel is being made known around the world. And it's been easier than ever to share the gospel with people. It has been easier than ever to connect with people and have conversations. It might be in a different way, but God's using it. And so, church, this morning, because Jesus lives and because He's alive, and because of that, He has given us instruction as to what we are called to do. And I don't want us to lose sight of that in the midst of this, in midst of these days, because we can get really frustrated and we can think that, whoa, everything has slowed down and come to a halt. And in a lot of ways it has, and maybe that's for the good. But there is, in some ways and in many ways, there is no reason that we cannot continue to faithfully share the gospel and be about the business of encouraging others in their walk with Christ. Church, what more could we want? Jesus has made it so clear what we are to be about. He's left us with this one last job to be about until He returns, because making disciples isn't something that's going to happen. Now is the time. He's given us the church to pour into and to encourage each other. Let's do it. Let's keep on making disciples. That's not just for someone who has not yet placed their faith in Jesus, but it's also for those who are following after Him. It's continuing to encourage and teach and build up. It's continuing to share the gospel with those who have yet to hear. And He's saying, go. I want you to tell of my grace with all confidence. I want you to tell of my faithfulness, of my mercy. And go with confidence, because I am right here with you. And not only am I with you, but I have authority over everything. Church, that's our mission. That's why we are about helping people find and follow Jesus. It's because that's what Jesus has called us to do. He says, go. It's that simple. Why go? Why does it matter? Because Jesus said this about Himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for me. He is the only way that anyone is saved. He's saying, go and share the gospel. and encourage and teach and build each other up. Jesus is saying, go and share the gospel with everyone. Go and tell them about me and make them my disciples. Here's why we need to go, and here's why we need to tell. Because in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, what did Paul say? He said this, how are people going to hear? And how are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Could there be anything more important in our lives? This is the gospel. Let's go and tell people about Jesus. These days, in these videos, just an example of, we might think that just even for these messages and sharing the good news of the gospel in this way. I've heard that these messages from those who are on the other side of the world and in Hong Kong and those in Florida and those in other places outside of this country who are able to hear the message of hope and the good news of Jesus Christ, who maybe wouldn't be hearing it otherwise. And you have the same stories too in the connections and circles that you are in. Maybe it's those people who wouldn't come out to a Sunday morning gathering, but now we're able to invite them and they're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ in this manner. Things are different, but God's using them. And so let's not miss that opportunity. Here's the gospel message, and here's the good news of Jesus that we are called to share. And it can come in an answer to under four big questions. Who is God? God is our creator. He's loving, he's holy, he's just, and one day he's going to execute perfect justice against all sin. But not only does the gospel answer the question of who is God, but it also answers the question of why are we in such a mess? Why are we in such a mess? Here's why. Because people are made in the image of God. We're beautiful and amazing creatures with dignity, worth, and value because we were made in his image. But here's the thing. Through our willful, sinful rebellion, we have turned from being his children to being his enemies. But yet still, we all have the capacity to be restored to a loving relationship with the living God. And so here's the good news. And what did Jesus do? Jesus, who is the Son of God, who lived a sinless and perfect life, because of that, had the ability to become the perfect sacrifice. And so through his death on the cross, he ransomed sinful people, and Jesus' death paid for the sins of all who come to him in faith. Christ's resurrection from the dead is the ultimate vindication of the truth of these claims. And so then here's the question, and here's where it comes down to it. How do we get back to God? It requires a response from us. The response that God requires from us is to acknowledge our sin, for us to repent and to believe in Jesus. And so we turn from our sin, especially the sin of unbelief, and we turn to God in faith, with the understanding that we will follow him for the rest of our days. And so that's the good news. And so that's what we're called to go and make disciples. And so that's why we as a church, we're partnering with others for the sake of the kingdom among those whom we have never heard. That's why we're striving along with those in Indonesia. And we're asking you to pray this month for for our partners there. That the gospel would be made known amongst the Rajong people, a people who have never yet heard. That's why we partner in Honduras with people in Sierra Leone, in Liberia. That's why we're partnering with the Boggs family in Big Laurel, Kentucky. That's why we partner with Rhodes Grove Camp as they minister to children. That's why we partner with other organizations here in our community. We do it so that we can be obedient to his command to go and make disciples. And so here's the question. In the midst of what we're facing with this pandemic now, in the midst of what you're facing with this pandemic right now, and I'm facing, the question is this, will we be faithful? Jesus is alive, and Jesus has called us to go and to make disciples. Will you be faithful to that? I want to ask you, who has God placed in your life that you can teach to follow Jesus? Have you thought about that lately? If God has called all of us to go and make disciples, who is there that God has put in your life so that you can be the person through whom the gospel will be proclaimed to them? Why wouldn't we do it? He doesn't leave us without everything that we need. He has all the authority in heaven and on earth, and he's with us. We've said it a lot of times around here. But 100 years from now, there's only one thing that's going to matter in a person's life, and that is their relationship with God. Are you a disciple who is making disciples? This morning, who is it that you are praying for and stepping in love towards? Friend, if you aren't a Christian, what I mean by that is that you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to know that we are so glad, that I'm so glad that you're watching this. I want you to know that the Bible tells us that in Jesus Christ alone, hope is found, forgiveness is found, purpose and meaning and life is found. In Christ alone is found the encouragement that our broken hearts need. In him alone is found the greatest joys in life, and it's in Jesus alone that we can be saved. The Bible tells us that every single one of us needs saving because every single one of us has sinned. And because of that sin, we deserve punishment. We are helpless and hopeless to do anything about that. And there is nothing that we can do on our own to right that broken relationship, but here's the good news. Because God is loving, because he is gracious, because he is merciful, he has taken the necessary step towards us, and he said, if you'll believe in me, if you'll trust in me, if you'll give your life to following after me in repentance from living for yourself, then you'll be forgiven of your sins, and I'll take you as my own. It is a gift, guys. It's nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we could do that would ever give reason that we would deserve it or warrant that kind of undeserved kindness. So I want to ask you, would you receive that gift of salvation today? Will you trust him today and say, here I am, Jesus, I'm all yours. Guys, if you want to know more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to email me, contact me. I'd love to talk with you more and walk alongside you in that. But I want to ask you that question, are you ready? Are you ready for his return? He's told us that he is coming again for all those who have turned in repentance from their sins, trusting in him for forgiveness, and have given their lives to following after him as their Savior King. And so if you would heed Jesus' call and welcome him into your life as Savior and Lord this morning, I invite you to do so through this simple prayer. It's just a prayer from your heart that says this: Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you've died for my sins, that you've risen from the dead. And I'm turning from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow after you as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. In your name we pray. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this time that we have had together. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement that we can have in knowing, Lord, that you are in control and that all authority is yours. Thank you that you've given us a work to do, that you haven't left us here without any idea as to what it is that you're calling us to do, but that you've given us very clear instructions. And I thank you, Lord, that you have promised your presence and that you are with us through it all. And in these days especially, Lord, God, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would be faithful to the work that you have called us to, and that we would rest in your grace. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness and the confidence that we can have that, Lord, that you are a God of peace. that you are faithful and that you will surely accomplish all that you want to accomplish in us and through us. Lord, we give you all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we go, I've asked a few people if they would be willing to lead us in prayer in these days for our community and for our country and for all those around the world, and that we would be faithful to go and tell just as we have been called to. And so be encouraged, and let's bow our heads and let's pray along with these individuals as they lead us.
Good morning, friends of Devonshire. It's great to be with you today. Jim would have joined me, but he's having a bad hair day. You might have heard that during the pandemic, we became grandparents to two beautiful baby girls. They're still at Johns Hopkins Hospital with their mom and dad, but they're doing great, and we hope to have them in our arms in a couple months. This is a very challenging time, but it's an opportunity for Devonshire to shine, which we always do. People need the Lord now more than ever, and we have the opportunity to reach out to our friends and neighbors and loved ones and show them the love of Jesus. We will make it through, and we will see each other again. I look forward to the opportunity to once again be able to hug each one of you. Join me this morning as we pray. Lord, we come before you with humble hearts and outstretched hands, conceding that you are our everything, our strength, our power, our perseverance. We are weary of this pandemic, weary of the news, of the isolation, and the uncertainty of the future. But in your presence, we find peace and strength and contentment. Renew us, fill us, lift us up with the power of your Holy Spirit. We turn our faces to you in these troubling times. None of this surprises you. Show us how we can love our neighbors, make a difference in our world, and lift up your name to so many who need you now more than ever. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi, church. My name is Connor Proctor. I have the privilege today to lead you guys in prayer. Dear Lord, we know that you are ultimately sovereign over everything, Lord, and in control of everything. And I just pray that through that understanding, we can come to depend on you more. And I just pray that this time can teach us of how much we truly need each other and our community of believers, Lord. During this time of rest and isolation, Lord, I just pray that we can become more one with our families, like how you, the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son, are one, Lord. And I just pray that during this time, we can take some silent time and get to know you more and trust you more and love you more, Lord, because ultimately, you and your kingdom are what's important and not this earthly life, Lord. So I just pray that all of these things can be reminders for us and can to make us ready for when we can get back out there, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you for this time of rest. Amen. Hope we can see you guys soon. Bye.
Good morning, Devonshire family. I'm so excited to be with you this morning to just open our time in prayer. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your unending love for us and for your unwavering grace poured out upon us. It is because of you that we can love one another and encourage one another during these times. Because we know that you have overcome the tribulations of this world and that in you there is no darkness. During these stressful times, it is easy to look around at what we are not able to do or what we cannot do. But we take this moment today to look to you, as it is you who we are searching for. Lord, we are so thankful for the life given to us and the encouragement of hope. Your word tells us that nothing can separate us from you and that you go before us. Yes, you even go before us, though like Peter, we have failed you countless times. You still have prepared the way to receive us. Lord, I take this moment to pray to you that you continue to use this time of quarantine to pull us closer to you. Allow us to see you in these moments as opportunities of growth and not as hurdles of defeat. Allow us to use this time to grow closer to you. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Close today, this is a benediction as we go. Keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ. Eternal and glorious plans they are. We'll have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word. Yes, he does. Have a great week.